three, two, one. All right, so Alex, I got you on the show. I've watched your stuff for a while, but just so people have some context, what is it that you do and how did you get into it?
Yes, well, first of all, thank you for the invite. I really appreciate it. My name is Alex Arabia and I'm from Starr County, from Roma. And I am a psychology professor at South Texas College in the Starr County campus in Rio Grande City. I'm also a licensed professional counselor here in the state of Texas, like to provide therapy for people who have depression, anxiety, different disorders. And I'm advisor, co-advisor of the Psychology Club. We're very active in the Starr County community for the last 10 years now, and as the largest and most active club in STC. And I'm also a co-host of a show on YouTube that is called Talk the Talk, Rio Grande Valley Stars, where we interview local celebrities, actors, models, singers, professional athletes.
So how did you get into that? Because that seems completely different than, than what you do professionally.
Yeah, since I organize many events through the Psychology Club conferences, and I'm usually the host of those, and also a talent show, the producer contacted me through social media.
Okay.
And he brought me and my co-host Isaac together for this project 11 months ago already.
Interesting.
At the beginning of this year.
It's a cool world we live in now, because social media has literally shrunk the world. Like,
definitely.
So tiny. Like, I talk to people that are in Japan. I talk to people in Hong Kong, like, on a daily basis.
It connects people, and we get to meet people.
Exactly.
Through social media, invite them to different projects and events.
I think social media,
it's a great platform.
Social media has literally opened up the world for creators to literally have their own platform.
Exactly.
To do anything they've ever wanted to do. How do you feel about that? Because it's sometimes a good thing and it's a bad thing.
Yeah, well, I think I've had a good experience overall.
You haven't had bad people on your show?
No, for the most
part. Tell me.
For the most part, it's been positive. The majority of them.
The majority.
And we try to keep with the positive comments.
I think that's super important in the world we live in now, because having that positivity on social media, I think, is something that people are looking for.
Yes.
Have you seen that from your experience?
And that was the purpose also of the show, to highlight and showcase the successful people from this area. Because oftentimes, sometimes this area is tinted in a negative way.
Yeah.
Nothing good happens in the valley. Drugs, this and that. But in reality, great people come from the valley, and there's lots of talent here. And we wanted to give all these people this platform to showcase them in the show.
So you've been here in the valley your whole life?
Yes, born and raised.
Awesome. How do you tell people about the valley when they come from out of the valley? How do you talk about the valley?
Well, I usually tell them that it's a very friendly place, family oriented, where most people know everybody and we're willing to help. Nice weather.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Great food.
Yeah, food's always good.
A very nice place to live, and close to the border, so like two cultures also in one. So I think it's a great place.
So I want to talk about mental health.
Okay.
Mental health is something that I'm kind of on the fence, because I always talk about it in my podcast, but I kind of want to move away from it. But I feel it's such a huge topic that nobody really touches on. And mental health, obviously, okay, so you have a master's in psychology. So you literally know about the human psychology, the human elements of life. What have you seen since social media has come around? And how do you see people dealing with social media in the Gen Zers, the millennials, and then the older generation?
For sure, yes. Yes, I do have a master's degree in clinical psychology from UTPA, now UT
RGV.
RGV. I was the top graduate.
Nice.
With a 4.0.
You're pretty smart.
GPA.
And I know what you're talking about.
I was also the valedictorian of my high school.
Nice.
In Roma. And this field is very interesting. Like, as soon as I took my first psychology class, I knew I wanted to major in this. I always wanted to teach, so I felt it was a good combination to teach psychology at the college level and also become a counselor, a therapist. And mental health is very important, and unfortunately there's this stigma with mental health, and it's improving a little bit, but not 100% yet, where a lot of people think that only crazy people seek treatment. And in reality, just like you go to the doctor for your physical illnesses, we should also be in check with our mental health, and there's nothing wrong with that. Any one of us can benefit from counseling and therapy, and that's part of what I do also through different events and workshops, try to help people let go of this stigma with mental health.
Do you think it's more prevalent here in the valley? Because we obviously in the valley have a very machismo type mm-hmm. of mentality.
Yes.
Or it's more like throw it under the rug, no, don't talk about that, mm-hmm. super taboo.
Yeah, it's nationwide, but I do think it's a little bit more magnified in the valley.
Why do you think?
Because of what you just said, yeah. the machismo and all those values instilled from the very beginning of our life and our upbringing. But I think it's improving, and education is a great way to make that change. You know, more people are getting educated, attending events and watching shows where this topic has now been more exposed.
How have you seen social media affects? Because you obviously deal with a lot of younger people, mm-hmm. right? How are they on their phones like the whole time? Like when they're in life, is it hard for them to unplug?
I'm making observations all the time, and even at restaurants or at stores, and they're always on their phone. Like sometimes I see families on the table, and every single member of the family is on the phone, mom, dad, and the kids. So social media is a great thing, but it's all a matter of moderation, right?
Right.
And not abusing of it, and parents setting guidelines, restrictions for their children is important, so they don't abuse of that. And also because of all the dangers that come with the internet, right, for minors and children. So, but it can be also used for very proactive, positive things, and this show and my show are examples.
Yeah, I find social media, it pulls in a lot of people, and it's kind of like, okay, so I think I heard that Facebook is like, imagine a drug, right? You give mm-hmm. this drug, and you know that it's gonna make you space out for however long, it's gonna get you addicted,
yes.
but you're still gonna do it, like, no matter what.
And people get addicted to the interaction, to the likes, the comments, and everything else. And also sometimes, because for 3 years I worked at the hospital, at DHR, at the behavioral center, providing therapy. And suicide is a big problem nowadays. Also, those who cut their arms and their legs, the cutters. And sometimes they do it for attention. Many times they even like upload a video
wow.
of them cutting, like to get likes and comments and feedback from others.
It's an interesting world we live in. People that are seeking attention.
Yes.
Like, what is that from? Is it from their upbringing, or they were just abused as a child, or what have you seen?
Yeah, it can be a combination of nature and nurture, genetics and the environments. Maybe they lacked like that attention from home.
Yeah.
Maybe the parents did not provide that attention for them, and now they're going out of their way to kind of get it from different sources throughout their life.
It's very strange world, because I have kids, right? So the last thing I want my kids is to grow up in a world where they have to worry about or seeing somebody on social media mm-hmm. cutting themselves.
Yeah.
Like, this doesn't make any sense. I don't mm-hmm. think it takes our humanity forward.
Yeah.
Like, it moves it back.
Definitely.
Are you on TikTok?
No.
Have you experienced TikTok?
Mm-mm.
It's a social app that I was very hesitant about getting into. I've been on it for probably about 2 months, but that's what I do. I'm a digital marketer, so I explore these different apps, right? Mm-hmm. And up to now, I have over like 2,000 followers. But my main audience is females, 75% females that are between the ages of 6 and 15.
Mm.
It's a very strange demographic because I'm 38.
Yeah.
Like, it's very weird for a grown man
uh-huh.
to get into TikTok, but I'm using it as leverage because I want to build it since it's so new.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually when you jump in so you can build your biggest audience, right?
Yeah.
But I see a lot of people on TikTok that are doing stupid things. They're giving adults like us a bad name.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not age appropriate. Like, my daughter, I'm sure she's seen so many things that shouldn't be on there,
mm-hmm.
but it's a very wide open platform.
Yeah, there's no restrictions.
There's no restrictions. There's something that says you're restricted from doing this, mm-hmm. but you can do it anyway. Mm-hmm. It's like, how do you feel, like, ethically from these companies, like TikTok? It's a Chinese brand, but it's based out here in America. How do you feel like they should attack that? Like, the restrictions, the terms of service, like,
mm-hmm.
it's just literally the open west right now.
Yeah, well, I guess they should be more open-minded and aware of all these issues that are going on, and not just think about the money or, right, getting more people into it, but also be well-informed about all the dangers. Maybe hire psychologists and professionals in their team that can guide them and make it a more acceptable, appropriate site or app for everybody with restrictions and everything else that should be in place.
I think it's part of the allure, though, is like you can go, like, because on Facebook, you're going to see one thing. Yeah. Instagram, you're going to see one thing. LinkedIn, you're going to see professionality. Mm-hmm. TikTok, you're going to see everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel like there's so much in the world where people gravitate towards.
Yeah.
There's so many options. And I
so
think
many options.
And it's not, it was never like that mm-hmm. when I was growing up. Like, when
it
you
was
were
just
up,
television. Yeah, that's it. A few channels
or going
and back in the day even less channels
yeah.
and more physical activity
yeah.
and now one of the reasons why obesity has become a big issue with people and with children is because they're not as physically active. They're usually on their phone or playing video games rather than playing sports or running or staying physically active, although some video games have now made it more like physical, where people, you know, children have to move and dance
like the Wii Oculus,
but it's still not the same.
Yeah, right?
And then cyberbullying is another big issue.
Yeah, so talk about that. Talk about that.
And it's easy for a person behind a different name or anonymously to attack others. And usually when it's in person or face-to-face, they wouldn't do so as much. So the cyberbullying is a lot more harsh, more severe because of that anonymity that that screen provides. And it can be very dangerous because some people have even committed suicide because they were cyberbullied. So it's a big, big issue, and I think that's where parents also need to come in, and school districts and professionals, mental health professionals, everybody working together for the benefit of our youth and the future.
So you think that's how we can combat it?
I think so.
What language do we use to, like, obviously talk to these kids? Because TikTok, for example, I'm going to go back to TikTok since it's such a young demographic. What I wanted to use it as more of an inspirational type of stuff, but obviously algorithms, they pick up on whatever trending, so it pushes it out more. So I want to incorporate like the more inspirational type of stuff, the more educational type of stuff, because there are kids that are seeing this stuff. Like what language do we use that kids can understand easily, that we can get across them, like, all right, this is bad, this is good, you shouldn't be seeing this, stuff like that. Like, I mean, coming from a parent, the last thing my daughter wants to do is listen to me. So how have you seen, like, from your experience, like, how do we talk to these people without coming from dad mode?
Yeah, I think just having an honest conversation and being more of like a friend, but with guidelines and restrictions, because a lot of parents think that being a parent is all about being super strict, authoritarian parenting, as it is called, where they don't listen to their kids and it's just their way or the highway. And it shouldn't be like that. A good parent is more like a friend, but also sets guidelines and structure, which is what being authoritative is. Being a permissive parent is not good either, because that's just being a friend without those guidelines and restrictions. So children should respect their parents, but not be afraid of them.
Right.
And when parents are super strict, sometimes children start fearing the parent, and that's never good. Because now when they grow up and they're facing different issues in school, whether it's bullying or peer pressure, drug use, whatever it is, dating, they won't feel comfortable approaching mom or dad and having a conversation with them because they fear them. So it's important for them to be comfortable and for them to see you as a friend, but at the same time respect you and know that there's rules and structure and discipline in place.
So
the households.
One of the things in school, I don't know if you saw this, but the recent shooting was California, right?
Yeah, yesterday, right?
Yeah.
November.
How do you feel about those things? Because, I mean, obviously there's gun law, gun control, stuff like that. And I also saw a post on Facebook about bulletproof backpacks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's our world coming to? Like, how do you feel about that?
And then politics just makes it worse because Republicans and Democrats are on completely different sides of the aisle, and one is pro-guns and the other one against. And I think they're more concerned about their own politics and being in power than about the betterment of society as a whole. So I think if they would also work together, right, some of these issues could be resolved by maybe not completely taking away guns, but having restrictions in place, background checks, so that these things don't happen.
Yeah. But, I mean, anybody can purchase a gun. I mean, as long as you're... you have to... when I purchased a gun years ago, it was super easy, right? Mm-hmm. Are there restrictions that you've seen from, like, obviously people that have mental health issues, or their screenings,
stuff
like that?
Supposedly there should be screenings and background checks, but I don't think they're that strict with them. So that's why we continue to see all these shootings nationwide, and it's very sad. But again, I think it should come from the top, and the president and senators and Congress and everybody working together, politicians, regardless of their political identity, for the betterment of society.
So do you think like the little guys like us can have a positive impact on a larger portion of people?
Mm-hmm. If we educate our youth and set the example of writing to our congressmen and going whenever they have events to talk to them, I think that can make a difference, because our voices will be heard.
Right. Yeah, it's just a very interesting world we live in, man. And I feel like, man, like it's so difficult to navigate life in a good family value type of way, yeah, like we always used to. But now there's parents that are getting divorced. Now there's single.
Yeah, the divorce rate is 50%. So yeah, one in two marriages will end up in a divorce.
That's crazy. And those things add stress on kids, uh-huh, right?
And then once they're divorced, if they get remarried, the chances of another divorce increase.
Interesting.
So
I have friends that have been married.
Divorce is very difficult for children, especially when the parents end like in bad terms, or when one parent is kind of forcing them to take sides.
Right.
And that should never happen. The children should be neutral and spend time with both parents equally, right? Unless there's a danger,
right,
in being with one parent. But other than that, it should be spent equally.
And that's not to say that not all the time that it doesn't work, right?
Yeah.
Because obviously there are times that it does work.
Yeah, there's always exceptions. Yeah,
exceptions.
But according to the research, a divorce is more likely to happen, yeah, once somebody has been divorced already.
So what happens to those kids that are in those situations? Like, I'm not sure if there's enough information, mm-hmm, and data, but like these kids that are growing up in single house family households, right? Like, are they more willing to go out and try different things, or mm-hmm, are they more in a destructive path? Or?
Yes, yeah, they're more likely to, like for their academic performance to go down in school, their grades go down, maybe problems with the law and drug use and things like that, and also more likely to get divorced as well whenever they get married. Since they saw that example, I guess they're more willing to get a divorce in the future as well.
So those morals that like our grandparents had, that you marry the woman and you stay with her forever, mm-hmm, my father stayed with my mom,
yeah,
now recently they're getting divorces.
Yeah.
Eventually people aren't going to get married.
Exactly.
So
which is another big thing, cohabitation,
yeah,
which is living together without being married, and now that's very, very common. And the studies also show that whenever those couples decide to get married, after years of living together, they're also more likely to get a divorce.
Really? Interesting.
And domestic violence is also more common among those couples who are cohabitating and not legally married.
Really? Huh. Interesting. So I've always wondered, like in a household when there's domestic abuse is going on, mm-hmm, and the children are there, they're picking up all these everything. They're picking up, mm-hmm, emotions. I mean, I'm a person that picks up vibes, I guess, whatever you call them. So I feel like people's vibes, right?
Yeah.
I can imagine what a little kid, mm, feels like when they're in these situations.
Yes.
Like they're scared.
Exactly.
They don't know what to do. Like, what could these children do in those situations?
Yeah, and that's something that we cover in counseling, and I also teach in class, because it's known as observational learning or social learning. And children will always be watching you as an adult and will kind of imitate what the adult is doing. So If there's cussing at home, bad words, violence, they're likely to follow in those footsteps and will also start saying bad words, possibly getting into fights in school. They're going to mimic that behavior, because actions do speak louder than words.
Yeah.
So even when parents will tell their children, don't smoke, don't drink, it's bad for you, if they do it themselves and the children are seeing that, they're likely to also do it.
Yeah.
So we need to set the example as parents or older siblings. Always be a positive role model for
them. Let me ask you this.
For them. So that they can imitate positive behavior.
Right,
and not
instead of the negative, yeah. Let me ask you this. Obviously, coming from the entrepreneurial world, I'm always busy. Always, mm-hmm, doing something. Obviously, I'm married, have children. I work from home. So a lot of times I'm going out back and forth. Do you feel like it's a bad thing, and ask one of the doctors that was on my show, I'm interested in your take. Do you feel like it's a negative thing that sometimes I'm on the computer, mm-hmm, working, right, zoned in, and then my kids are like, hey, dad, dad, mm-hmm, dad, and I'm just so zoned trying to get stuff in. like, I feel like I'm a bad parent at that time. I mean, talk to me about that.
So
maybe I'm asking for your permission to say
that. It's recommended to maybe set time aside for different activities, like maybe dinner time. This is the time where the whole family will eat together, which nowadays doesn't happen all the time, because sometimes each family member is eating in their own bedroom or at different times. But for the entire family to have dinner together, and during that dinner, 30 minutes, whatever it is, they can have a conversation of how did it go today in school or at work, and you're spending time together, quality time. And with that happening, probably the parent wouldn't feel that bad being busy later on, because that time with the family already was covered, you know?
Yeah. It's hard because, I mean, we're all after the American dream, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody force feeds us that.
Especially in this country, in America, it's very competitive and with a hard work ethic.
Do you feel that that's a bad thing?
I think it's a good thing as long as we don't abuse of it. Like, it's important to balance out everything. So make some time aside for the family, some time for hobbies, all right, some time for work, and not just work. So I think if we prioritize and have a balance, it's actually could be something good to be competitive and to stay proactive and productive. As long as, like I said, we do take time for the family and also for our own self. Otherwise, we can get burnt out. And that's a completely different topic. Yeah. When it's just work. Work all the time, we can get burnt out, and we're not going to enjoy work as much anymore.
Have you ever heard of a sensory deprivation tank?
Mm-hmm.
So a sensory deprivation tank is 200 gallons of water, 800 pounds of Epsom salt. And it's in a tub, dark room, turn off everything. You're completely isolated from everything. I was doing that for a while. And I felt, for me, it's to escape, obviously, social media world, right? And everything that life throws at you. So that was my one time to take an hour and a half by myself, forced to sit with yourself, forced to sit with your mind. And your mind's a very scary thing, especially when you're by yourself.
Yes.
But I felt like, for me, being so busy, investing an hour or an hour and a half into my mental health, right? Because that's for my mental clarity. I felt like it was a waste of time. Like, is that wrong for me to think?
Yeah, sometimes when we're super busy and productive all the time, we feel that way. But we should focus on the fact of how important it is to make time for ourselves. Yeah. Value that. And I guess the more you do it, the less guilty you feel. Yeah. Maybe you're not doing anything. But in reality, you are, because you're doing something great for your mental health. And whether it's meditation or exercising, engaging in some type of hobby, getting a massage, all those things are recommended for good mental health as a stress reliever as well. Listening to music.
How important is it for parents to remove themselves from situations when they have like arguments, stuff like that? Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, children don't understand, right? So I have, like, at certain times I have to, like, remove myself from situations, right? Because I don't want my children to see that or go through it, right? So I feel like they understand it to a certain point, if they're a certain age, right?
Yeah.
But that does affect them in the future? Or like, what have you seen? Like as far as the argument, like, if you're married, you have an argument with your wife, right? You try to remove yourself from the situation, and then they're like, where did dad go? Where did mom go?
Well, it's actually, whenever there's an argument, it's recommended to kind of step away and cool off, and then come back and approach the problem in a calm way. And that's something that you can also tell your kids, that it's actually a recommended technique to calm down. Because when we're angry, we can say things or do things that later we regret.
Yeah.
So it's actually something good.
Yeah.
That's what we recommend as part of anger management. Go away, cool off, and then come back and approach the problem in a calm way.
Right.
And that's the important part also. So don't just walk away and never talk about it later. Right. Fix it later once you're calm.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people are going through marriages and going through life, and they're just going through it, like, just through the swing of things.
Yeah.
And they really don't understand, like, the gravitational, like, of how it's going to affect them long term.
Mm-hmm.
Like, later on when I'm 80, I don't want to regret things. So I take advantage of opportunities. I go out and do stuff. How have you seen that benefit people long term? Like, as far as, like, I'm a risk taker. I'll take risks. I'll invest money in things that don't work. but I'm willing to try it. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to be 80 one day and then be like, oh, you know what?
Yeah, it's better to try it than to say, I regret that I did it. Yeah. And usually when we're elderly, we go through a life review or we reflect on everything we did. And if you didn't take those risks, there will be regrets. And you won't be that satisfied with the life that you lived. So it's better to be a risk taker.
Yeah. I honestly agree. I mean, there's so many creative people here in the Valley, mm-hmm. specifically,
yeah.
that are looking for something. They're looking for a way out. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they have to, their mentality is they have to go to Austin. Or yeah. They have to leave the state. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you feel about that?
Yeah,
do you
or feel when it comes to actors, go to Hollywood. Yeah. And that's what a lot of the actors and singers in my show have said, that instead they want to stay here and do great things here so that the Valley can become like a Hollywood, you know, full of talented people and great events. So I think it's important to realize that we can do great things in the Valley or in whatever city you're from, and you don't have to go elsewhere necessarily.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people are scared to try things. Mm-hmm. It's either you're very scared to try stuff or you go and do it. Like, there's nothing in between. So that hinders a lot of people from trying new stuff. I just find this world very fascinating that literally the social media has opened mm-hmm. up the doors for everybody to see their bad parts, their good parts. Like, it's very interesting. But what I'm interested in is your take on a whole. Like, you have a master's in psychology, knowing your experience in your life or your accumulated knowledge, like, where do you see social media going in the next 10 years?
Yeah, I think it's going to stay as it is. I don't see it going anywhere because of how popular it has become. And as it is, we as humans have this need to belong. That's what we call it in psychology, to be accepted by others, to be connected with others. And that's exactly what social media does. Even though you don't see family and friends every day in person, through social media, you're connected to them and you're getting to know about what they're doing, staying up to date, and that's satisfying this need that we have to belong in society. Plus, you get to meet other people, and that's in addition to. So I think it's gonna stay.
It's shrunk the world, and I love it. Yeah. How do you feel, like, from my parents' age, right? Mm-hmm. They're in their 50s, 60s. How do you feel like them, they just don't get social media or they don't know how to use it? Mm-hmm. Do you feel like it hinders them from being socially accepted? Because obviously my parents came on to see my children's pictures, stuff like that. So, I mean, they're following the trend. Now mm-hmm. my mom's on Instagram. Yeah. So
and
she's
I was about
on YouTube.
To tell you that nowadays I'm seeing more and more older folks, older adults be on social media. And I think from now on, everybody's going to be on it as time progresses, because now all of us are growing up with technology. So I think that sooner or later, like, everybody is going to be on social media with smartphones and everything.
Well, I think like Elon Musk is trying to just integrate with Neuralink. Are you familiar with Neuralink? Mm-hmm. So Neuralink's Elon Musk's version of how cyborgs. So eventually we'll be able to plug into the system, or we'll be able to upload our memories and mm-hmm. download skills. Mm-hmm. Are you one of those people that would try that?
Sounds interesting. Maybe. I would have to think about it. It sounds interesting.
It's just the technology, like, obviously from 1900s to back then, there was no real technological advancement. Mm-hmm. But now, between now, like, it's such a short time period.
Yes.
Like, it's expanded, like, so much. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine where we're going to be the next 100 years.
Exactly.
Like, I just find it fascinating that these devices are going to probably be in a contact in our eye one day. Like,
probably.
It's insane where it's going to go.
Yeah.
But do you feel like these things are making us more antisocial or social? Because we're in a social mm-hmm. world, right?
Yeah.
But we're antisocial.
I think so. And in a way, also, people are not enjoying the present so much, because if they're at a party, at a concert, whatever event they're at, wedding, instead of just being there, enjoying the moment, they're recording or they're taking pictures, and I don't think they're so much physically present in whatever environment they're in. And like I said earlier, oftentimes in restaurants, I see that the entire family, each person, is on their phone instead of having a conversation in the dinner table. So I think that's why it's very important for parents to set rules and maybe tell their kids, when we're having dinner, whether it's at home or in a public place, no phones, no tablets, no technology
during
that time. And that's also a way to have everything in moderation and not create addictions or things like that.
Have you heard of influencer marketing?
Influencer.
So influencer marketing is like these huge Instagram people that have like 100,000 followers. Mm-hmm. Now Instagram is testing out the platform in Australia where they're taking away the likes. So there's no longer gonna be likes.
I heard something like that on.
How do you think like these huge people that build mm-hmm. up these massive followings that are getting monetary payment, right?
Yeah.
How do you feel like that's gonna affect?
So what's the direction? Like no more likes on.
No more likes. So
on Instagram.
Yeah. So like if I'm looking on your profile and you know you have like so many likes, mm-hmm. they're not gonna be there anymore.
So it's possible that it's gonna go in that direction for everybody.
Yeah. What do you feel like? That's what they're used to. Like.
Yeah.
How do you feel like that from a psychology standpoint? How do you feel like, all right, this is what gave me stature?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, how do you feel?
And I'm wondering if without the likes, it's gonna go downhill, because the likes is like a reinforcement.
Right.
Likes or views or comments are reinforcement for you to continue posting, to continue that behavior. So I wonder if without that, it's gonna decrease.
I think that's why they're testing it out in Australia, because.
Are the views gonna still be seen like
that
in story?
I'm not too sure. Oh. I think what it is, my friend told me that you'll be able to see it on your end, but you won't. People won't be able to see it on their end.
I see.
So it's gonna be an interesting take. What
and
happens?
And it's only Instagram, not Facebook.
I'm not sure yet. It could. I think what the reasoning behind it is, they want people to be creative. They want them to go back to what social media really is, and it's a social platform to have these conversations. It's not like girls are taking pictures of their butts. Yeah. Guys are taking pictures of their muscles to get those likes. Now you have to be more creative with your stuff. And I think that's the reason why they're choosing to go that route. It's going to be interesting.
And by when? Do you know the timeline?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
That's interesting.
It's a very interesting thing. I mean, because like you said, it's a reinforcement for what we're doing.
Is it a for sure thing, or they're considering?
I think they're considering testing it out in Australia. So if, I guess, once they get the data back, they're gonna make a decision. I mean, coming from a social media world, I wouldn't want that.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make
sense. And I recently saw a post, I think, by Ruben Villarreal, who you've interviewed, and I think he was talking about that.
Yeah, I read about it probably last year through Gary Vaynerchuk, and he was talking about, like, these guys are gonna be shit out of luck. Like, what are they gonna do? So
we'll
it's
see
gonna
what happens.
Force people to become creative.
Yeah.
And I think that's the world we live in, is if you're able to be very creative and sell your stuff, like, you're gonna win.
Yeah.
Period. Like, obviously you're very creative on your end. You have the show. Yeah. You get up. So is this for show, or is this how you always dress?
I always like to dress in bright colors in general.
That's awesome.
Especially for the show or events that I host.
See, I can never pull that off. I'd love to, man, but so I just can't.
I have jackets and blazers and suits of all types of colors.
That's
silver,
awesome.
Gold, blue, you name it.
Nice.
Even holiday suits.
Really? I think I've seen that.
Like
I've
for
seen
Christmas
that.
Or Easter and all the different holidays.
That's awesome. So this is important to have fun with life.
Yeah.
Like we're only here for literally a very short
while.
You
only live once. Yeah. YOLO.
Yeah, and I think people think that's stupid. Like it's not. Like if you think like you stay in that little square, like what's the point? Like explore life.
Exactly.
Have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
So are the people that are more antisocial, obviously, they're less likely to try different things in life. How important is it for them to understand, like, all right, this is a huge world. This is not a little bucket that you live in. Like, for example, like the colonias, like that's all they ever know. Like, that's it. They'll never get out of that little bubble. How do we reach those people to show them, like, all right, this is a huge world out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, understand this. Like, what are some, I guess, guidelines to help us explore that?
Yeah, maybe visiting them, talking to them, spending time with them and letting them know of the importance, having professionals, right, share maybe statistics or data as to why it's important to be social and not just to yourself. Because oftentimes those are the people who become depressed or suicidal. So I guess education is the key, letting them know the importance of being out there, social. Also seeking help when they need to, therapy, counseling.
I feel like a lot of people won't reach out for help. Like, how
in general,
how can, how can you bridge that gap? Like, how can you say, like, okay, if I want to go talk to somebody mm-hmm. for mental health, like, yeah. I wouldn't do it. Like, it's very hard for me. How do you bridge that gap for me to be able to make it okay mm-hmm. to reach out to someone?
So I think it's all about education and, like, advocacy. Like, having shows like this where I'm talking about the importance of going and seeking for help. It's not for crazy people. Any one of us can benefit from counseling. In the classroom, we share information and data as to how efficient therapy can be. And I think that's the best way, being educated and maybe showing examples of people who have overcome issues through therapy, celebrities, right, and different kinds of people who maybe without therapy, the end result would have been very different for them.
So suicide recently overtook the statistics of car crashes. Mm-hmm. It's a very touchy subject because I get life. I'm not an expert in life, right? But I've experienced enough life where I've traveled, I've had children, I'm married, and I feel like suicide is a very touchy subject that nobody wants to talk about. Mm-hmm. Are there those people that are like, you know what? Fuck it, like, I'm out of here, like, that's it. Like, how do you reach those people, or are they unreachable?
No, they're never unreachable. It's just a matter of having professionals willing to do it, and I think having schools who sponsor events, mental health conferences, where these topics are showcased and where students can attend and learn about them, I think that's very important and essential to see an improvement in what you're just saying, to let go of the stigma and to actually reach those people. So I think the more proactive the school is and the counselors, administration, parents, everybody working together, I think is the solution.
I just find it a very interesting world that we live in, that we have to have these conversations. Mm-hmm. Like, where is, like, the entertainment aspect of stuff? Yeah. Like, instead we're sitting here talking about suicide, talking mm-hmm. about mental health, because it's such a big issue. I feel like for me, I didn't want to talk about this, right? But I feel like it's part of my responsibility and duty, because I do reach people mm-hmm. and I do care about people. Like, yeah. I really do care about people. And the last thing I want to do is see my friend commit suicide, mm-hmm. or I didn't know anything about, like, signs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So what are some signs that people show that are going to be suicidal or mm-hmm. that have mental health?
So usually they're very depressed, they're withdrawn, isolated, they're not interacting as maybe they used to before. And sometimes they specifically actually say things like, I'm thinking about killing myself. They usually disclose that to a close family member or friend. And sometimes people don't take that seriously. But anytime a person is telling you that they're thinking about that, you should definitely take it very, very seriously. There is a suicide hotline, 1-800-273-TALK. And they have trained professionals over the phone, 24/7.
This is a free service?
It's a free service, and they've saved many people's lives.
Wow.
So, but yeah, those are some of the signs, like depression, isolation. Maybe they don't want to go to school, their grades are dropping, changes in appetite or sleep, and actually them saying things like, what's the point of life? I want to kill myself, right? Comments like those.
And suicide obviously doesn't have a specific age range, right? Mm-hmm. It goes across the board.
Yeah, although the most common time frames are in the early 20s, and then it's not teenagers like a lot of people think, but the media usually cover teenage suicide, yeah. So we think it's more common.
That's true, yeah.
For teenagers, but it's usually the early 20s and the elderly, those two groups.
What do you think that is?
Well, in the early 20s, there's many life changes going on. Like, you graduate from high school, and then you go to college, and you're expected to graduate and work and become independent. Sometimes you get married during those years or have your first child, and all those significant life changes can be very stressful for people in general. And then if you have certain risk factors, right, you're more prone to maybe commit behaviors like those rather than just successfully cope with the stressor. And the elderly, well, at that age, sometimes they have depression. Depression is like the number one risk factor of committing suicide. So if you're alone, elderly, you feel depressed, maybe there's pain in your body and you feel that taking away your life is like the solution to let go of that pain, no longer suffer.
Interesting. So once again, I'm sure it's through education and information that mm-hmm. we reach these people.
Yes.
But how do you reach somebody that's elderly? Mm-hmm. Like, they're going through this pain. Like, they don't want to feel that anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you get through those people?
Yeah, well, taking them to a professional. And money is never an issue, because I know it can be expensive, but usually in every city, there's some type of free counseling service out there. Like here in the Valley, Abundant Grace Counseling Center in Edinburgh is a place where they provide free services, and there's a few others. So letting them know about these places, that money should not be an issue, and maybe the adult child taking their elderly parent to the professional, driving them over, motivating them to go, encouraging them to do so, and being supportive along the way, always being there for them along the way.
I just feel like the world that we live in is so fast mm-hmm. and
very fast.
I think I saw a picture the other day where it was the two children going after the parent, like one was pulling them this way, one was pulling them this way, and then when they got older, it was like, no, you take mom, you take mom. That's kind of like how life really yeah. is, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like everything that's accumulating, like the single house marriages or the families and stuff like that, social media,
yeah,
it's leading to that, mm-hmm. like where nobody wants to deal with pain anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, we're in an instant gratification world. Like,
yeah.
I want it now, I want it fast, and I want it here.
Exactly.
As soon as that. So how do you feel like that's molded us as a generation?
Mm-hmm. Well, even before social media, usually all of us have this innate immediate gratification kind of tendency. They've even done studies since the 1960s where it was known as the marshmallow study, where they had kids, they had the option of getting a marshmallow right away and eating it, or option B, waiting for 20 minutes and you could get two marshmallows. A lot of children wanted the immediate instant gratification, and they said 20 minutes is too long, I'll just eat one right now. Other kids, they waited. They had more a higher emotional intelligence. They waited 20 minutes because they knew it was going to be worth it. Two is better than one. And then they followed up those kids when they grew up, and most of them were doing a lot better than the kids who went for the immediate gratification when it comes to school success and grades, even when it comes to like delinquency and trouble with the law, because being able to control your emotions and your impulses is very important right. to be successful as well.
Yeah. I completely agree. How important is it to find happiness no matter what you do? If you want to be a cook, mm-hmm. like, and that makes you happy.
Yeah.
Like, how do you navigate the stigma of people like, oh, you're a cook, whatever? Yeah. Because I had that happen to me once when I was working with my dad, Derek, when he owns Derek and Mercedes. I was cook. Like, I would manage it. I would manage the whole place. And when I would post stuff, inspirational stuff on Facebook, mm-hmm. they're like, why aren't you just a cook? I feel like those things kind of push people into a little square. Mm-hmm. Like, you're trying to fit a square into a round hole.
Yeah.
And that, luckily for me, I had some emotional intelligence. Like, you know what? There's yeah. more out there. Yeah. Because I was coming from a world where I never had a lunch break anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And now I can go literally wherever I want. But I feel like when people tell them these things, it's either a good thing or a bad thing, because I took that and I turned it into a good thing. Mm-hmm. There's most people that won't and exactly. just stay there.
Yeah.
So how have you seen that? And how important is it for people to find or to be happy with whatever they do?
Yeah. Well, I always give the advice, whether it is the college students at STC that I teach, for advisement, or in career days that I go to in elementary, middle school, or high school, that you have to choose a career that you love. Because if you love what you do, work won't seem like work.
Yeah.
Like, you're gonna enjoy every day, you'll be happy to wake up in the morning, excited for the day. And if you choose it for another reason, maybe because your parents want for you to be a doctor or an attorney and you don't really want to, it's them, it's their dream, not yours, or you're seeking a career because of the money, you won't really be happy, because the studies do show that money doesn't buy happiness. Happiness is the result of having a job you love, hobbies that you enjoy, good friendships, a satisfying marriage, religious faith, exercising, sleeping well. Those are the factors associated with happiness, not so much the money.
Yeah.
like homeless people that have no money, no food, no shelter, there's no way they can be happy, because if you're starving all the time and thirsty, you can't be happy. But any extra wealth, aside from having the necessities, won't make you happier necessarily. So I always tell the students that.
Yeah.
From elementary all the way to college, choose a career that you love and you'll be happy. And also be very careful who you date and who you marry, because that's also a big part of your life, right? Personal life, to also make you happy.
I think it's what the five people that are closest to you says a lot about mm-hmm. who you are as a person, right?
Exactly.
So there was, I just forgot what I was going to tell you. Dang. It was going to be so insightful too, man.
It happened.
It just escaped. But anyways, before we finish out the show, I always ask this to my guests. What is the best piece of advice through your all your cumulative knowledge, through all your years of research? I got it.
Okay.
Okay. Do you think that people have to go to college to become successful?
Nowadays, I feel that it's always great to have a backup plan. So even if you're super talented and you would become a famous singer, many of the singers or actors don't have an education or a degree. I feel that because it's so competitive, yeah. because of the social media and everything else, it's very, very competitive. It's always better to have a plan B, a backup plan, an education, especially maybe when you're older, if you can no longer be a model or an actor. You always have that degree, right, to back you up, to get other jobs and other opportunities.
Yeah.
So I feel it's not necessary, but it's strongly recommended.
So in all your years, your cumulative years, knowledge, everything that you've been through, everything you experienced, everybody you've talked to, what is the best piece of advice that you can give somebody or anybody mm-hmm. in general and just in life?
The best advice I can give is to be yourself and be happy. Love yourself the way you are. Accept yourself the way you are, because that's the only way you can love and accept other people, by first loving and accepting yourself with all the qualities that you have physically, everything. Accept yourself for who you are. Be happy. Persevere and never give up.
I think that's really good. That's really good motivational like talk, because yeah. nobody ever hears that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, people maybe stumble upon it, but it's not drilled into the head, and mm-hmm. that's really what I try to get across.
Yes.
And a lot of the things that I do. So before we finish off the show, let everybody know where they can find you, mm-hmm. If they want to reach out to you, anything.
Yeah, well, on social media, like Facebook, I'm as Alex Saravia, M-A-L-P-C, and on Instagram, Alex_Saravia_06_MA_LPC those are mainly the two social media platforms that I use. And on YouTube, please follow the Jar Films channel so you can watch all of our interviews for Talk the Talk, Rio Grande Valley Stars, because we've interviewed very talented people from the valley, including the singer Bobby Pulido,
nice.
The professional boxers Panterita and Brandon Figueroa, and so many other actors and models and TV hosts from the valley, and you can see all those videos there. The comedian Raymond Orta. So follow that channel, Jar Films channel on YouTube, and I would like to appreciate you for the time and the interview, and the viewers, thank you for watching. Support him, support us, right? And I wish you the best.
I appreciate your time, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.